Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kelly here. Good morning, Kelly. And it is 6:20. We've got a lot of very bitter cold out there. And it's apparently going to get a little bit worse. And so let me let's get a little El Paso weather here, El Paso, Las Cruces. And it's 28 degrees in El Paso right now. I would assume pretty much the same thing here. Yeah, so you do or don't buy into my zombie analogy. It just strikes me that, you know, kind of dead empire that arises and basically is taking over the earth by default through murder and destruction. I mean, if you look at the communist countries, they were like zombie countries. All right, here is, because they killed so many people, 150 to 200 million people were murdered by their government. The government might as well have been run by zombies. Here is El Paso's weather, Las Cruces.
Sunny skies on the way for El Paso. I'm the meteorologist Jeff Popick here with your latest forecast for Tuesday. Sunny skies, high temp 58, 30, partly cloudy on the overnight. Extended forecast here brought to you by AccuWeather. Mid-50s Wednesday with lots of sunshine. Looking at some cooler weather late weekend, the weekend with more clouds, at least here late week as we fall into the 40s for a couple of days, and then we'll try to make up for lost ground and end up where we started from, at least on Wednesday. Saturday back to 53, a little bit warmer Sunday as we approach 60.
All right, so it doesn't look like there's any precipitation in the mix. And New Mexico mentioned in royal family sex scandal lawsuit. That's interesting, huh? And the Roswell school shooter receives the maximum sentence. So I guess the people that were kind of fighting for him to be just given psychological therapy, those people lost. It's funny, though, you know. It's kind of along the same theme. There was this movement in the 1950s and 60s into the 70s for kind of a penal reform. Reformation, or so-called reformation of sentencing. And a lot of people believe that it was worse when they were done than before they started. One of the things that were changed was laws for pedophiles were greatly reduced. So it's kind of bracing when stuff like that. And that's kind of typically the way that the way that the left does stuff. It wants to change things. It's got a brand new idea.
But what he has done is not okay.
So many television.
It's got a brand new idea and stuff, and so the we've got to adapt, we've got to change, and just kind of accept what the outcome is.
Most of which are in.
And I would say that's absolutely crazy.
Because the amount of pellets in her body, she carries.
I'm looking over some stories here. I'm trying to find you a clip about the I've got it right here, folks. Lawsuit. Jeffrey Epstein. Billionaire, hosted underage orgies at a ranch near Santa Fe. And this is coming in from KOB, but it's very, 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 you know, disheartening story to hear about.
Other than that apology, from what we saw, 13-year-old Campbell showed little emotion.
And I'm trying to let this puppy load. It looks like it's...
Read aloud excerpts from his
I hate to say it, but...
After the
all
shooting.
Right. So a family is fighting back against a sex scandal that stretches from England to New Mexico. A woman claims she was forced to become a sex slave for Prince Andrew. The victim claims Jeffrey Epstein was the ringleader. And several of his powerful friends are in the spotlight. And his ranch is up near Santa Fe, outside of Santa Fe, I suppose.
He wasn't the only powerful man involved. Our Caleb James is following the story.
And let me
Caleb.
Yeah, Tom,
just get this thing,
not only
this thing queued up here.
With women who are 15 and 16 years old at the time.
This all right, so hold on just a second, and here it is, and this is from KOB, and this is about the sex scandal involving underage girls. Possibly, I'm not saying that it involves Bill Clinton, but why does this guy, this pedophile, have 20 numbers to get a hold of Bill Clinton? That doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying that I know more than is already in the news, but it just, you got to connect the dots. Anyway, check this out.
Now, a sprawling ranch in our state at the center of new disturbing allegations, and they come from two women who say billionaire convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein forced them into a life of sex slavery.
According to the women, he did it all around the world, including at his ranch near Edgewood, and he wasn't the only powerful man involved. Our Caleb James is following the story and New Mexico's connection to it. Caleb.
Yeah, Tom, Epstein is not only accused of having sex with women who are 15 and 16 years old at the time. This civil suit that's been filed earlier this week alleges he also trafficked those girls, forcing them to have sex with other powerful men, including former O.J. Simpson defense attorney and Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz.
From Chopper 4, this is billionaire Jeffrey Epstein's sprawling Zorro Ranch, and the allegations of what happened here are shocking. It's Crown Jewel, a nearly 27,000-square-foot hilltop mansion hidden in plain sight on the 10,000-acre property south of Santa Fe. Its living room alone measures 2,000 square feet larger than the average Santa Fe home. And according to a new federally filed civil suit, this oasis in the New Mexico desert is one of several compounds around the world where Epstein and other powerful men hosted orgies of underage girls. According to the filing, a Jane Doe number 3 and a Jane Doe number 4 allege Epstein kept them as sex slaves when they were 15 and 16 years old in the early 2000s. Jane Doe 3 alleges a New Mexico connection and claims Epstein frequently abused her, not only at a West Palm Beach compound and other locations, but also in New Mexico, presumably at the Zorro Ranch, where the suit claims Epstein forced then-minor Jane Doe 3 to have sexual relations with former Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz.
I was at the ranch once with friends, with my wife and my daughter, for about an hour.
Dershowitz is one of the attorneys who famously defended O.J. Simpson at his murder trial, and he took the hot seat himself on the Today Show this morning to defend himself. He told NBC's Matt Lauer he was at Zorro Ranch, but did not have sex with underage girls.
An hour, the house wasn't complete. Epstein wasn't even in it. There are no girls around.
And Dershowitz isn't the only powerful man connected to Epstein and what amounts to accusations of underage sex trafficking.
Prince Andrew of York, a member of the British royal family, is accused of having sex with underage girls at Epstein's other properties. The intricacy of how this trafficking ring is alleged to have been organized by Epstein and how often it's connected to New Mexico is very compelling. We'll be breaking it down for you tonight at 10. Tessa?
All right, Caleb, thank you for
That's incredible. Dershowitz is a giant name in the American legal community, and that's interesting. He got up and just said, no, it never happened. No girls there. The house wasn't finished, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man. I just there's more to this story, obviously. But it's weird. It's just almost totally inexplicable that this guy who's a sex offender would have 20 phone numbers for Bill Clinton. How is that possible? They must have been pretty good friends, right? I mean, either that or Bill Clinton has thousands of phones, you know, and this guy just happened to get 20 of them. 523-1450. I've got another story that's my computer's acting up here a little bit. Let me gonna have to take a break here, and we'll be back at 6:30. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180. If you think I'm wrong about Clinton, let me know. I'll be right back.
By dogs. The man's body was found Friday along US 491. He had bruises and defensive wounds on him. Investigators say they still have not ruled out exposure. The man has not been ID'd yet, but we do know he was a Native American in his mid-40s.
It is Kelly here, and I've got the story with Bill Clinton somehow involved in it. Disheartening, but you know, I mean, Bill Clinton was always, I think from his earliest days, it was understood that he was a...
More than any before, his generation.
Or whatever, you know, and his... He was from, he's from Arkansas and was just known to be a guy that had his eye on the ladies. You know, here, let me ask you this one question. Have you ever known anybody who was even addicted to sex, who seemed like a happy person? I haven't. Here's another story here for you. Dona Ana deputies looking for teen missing since December the 10th. And it's Rosa Hurtado, Las Cruces High School student, missing since December 10th. Didn't come home from school that day. She called her mother at home on December 19th and told her she wanted to come home. Phone connection was lost, and she hasn't been heard from. The mother said that during the brief phone conversation that Hurtado told her that she thought she was at a house somewhere off of U.S. Highway 70. The young lady is 5'6 and 125 pounds. If you have any information, call the Dona Ana Sheriff. Well, I wonder if it's with a boyfriend or what, but... Weird. These stories are so weird. I guess Another story, Las Cruces man accused of child abuse involving daughter. A two-year-old daughter left outside in 28 degrees with only a diaper on. And Efrain Meha is being held on a $1,000 bond. And he was arguing with his girlfriend, and he left the child outside. All right. Here is there's Roswell shooter information, if I can get this puppy to play. And here we go.
By saying that I have forgiven Mason for this, but what he has done is not okay.
So many pellets are still lodged in Sanders' body, her parents told the judge she may not be able to have children due to lead poisoning.
Kendall has over 150 lead pellets in her body, most of which are in her right breast area. Because of the amount of pellets in her body, she carries high toxicity, lead poisoning.
Mason Campbell, the boy police say is responsible for the school shooting, was in the courtroom. He apologized to Sanders and Tavares and the security guard who was hit with shrapnel. We were told not to record video of him because he's a minor and being charged as a child.
I'm very sorry for my actions. This is not what I meant to do. I'm very sorry, Kendall, Nathaniel, Mr. Hayes.
Other than that apology, from what we saw, 13-year-old Campbell showed little emotion. He stared straight ahead even as the prosecution read aloud excerpts from his journal discovered after the shooting.
So, hi everyone. If you're reading this, I'm probably in jail. Don't worry, I did what I wanted to do. I've grabbed a 20-gauge shotgun and a heavy-duty saw. I chopped the stock off. Tomorrow will be fun.
Campbell's family says that does not describe the kind, sweet kid that they have who was constantly bullied, they said. Still, the judge imposed the maximum sentence, as you said. Campbell is committed to the care of CYFD until age 21. Live in Roswell, Laura Turan, KOAT Action 7 News.
Campbell is charged with 3 counts of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and 1 count of unlawful carrying of a deadly weapon on school premises.
The rain came down.
Well, I mean, what's your reaction to that? Do you think that they should just, you know, like have given him the minimum amount? I find it bizarre for him to say, I didn't mean to do this, when they have this note that he left saying, I really meant to do this. If you're reading this now, I'd be in the jail. What's wrong? I'm just going to ask you this. 523-1450, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM 1450. What would be wrong with taking some of these very violent youth and locking them up for a long time? I mean, why is it that in these stories, inevitably, it is the perpetrator who they try to make the recipient of, you know, a lot of sympathy? I don't get it, really. I know it's been going on for a long time, but all right, I got a few more stories here for you. Here's a little more Wilco, New Madrid.
And she held onto my arm.
Kelly here, and police think that a Gallup man may have died from a wild dog attack. I mean, is that crazy or what? Check this out, and this is from KOB.
His body was found near a Sonic restaurant in Gallup. Now cops believe he was mauled to death by dogs. The man's body was found Friday along U.S. 491. He had bruises and defensive wounds on him. Investigators say they still have not ruled out exposure. The man has not been ID'd yet, but we do know he was a Native American in his mid-40s.
About 6 feet tall, wearing glasses, and boy, what a way to go. All right. New Mexico is nation's second most dangerous state. And this is all also from KOB.
Just about topped another list, and it does not look good.
Not at all. And this time, a study by the Urban Institute puts New Mexico at number 2 in most dangerous states in America. Our Nikki Abar breaks down this pretty troubling spot for us.
Overall, as a country, crime rates have improved. We take a look at individual states like New Mexico. And while it doesn't look good, USA Today broke down the numbers to find the most dangerous states in America. And New Mexico comes in at number 2. Why? New Mexico's violent crime rate went up almost 7% between 2012 and 2013. That comes to nearly 597 per 100,000 residents. In the study, violent crimes include murder, rape, aggravated assault, and robbery. Now let's look at New Mexico's largest city, Albuquerque. 775 violent crimes per 100,000 residents. The study cites poverty levels may impact ranking, mentioning that people who live in the most dangerous states were also more likely to live in poverty. Other states in the top 4 include Nevada, Tennessee, and Alaska, which according to USA Today is the most dangerous state in America. Reporting in Albuquerque, Nikki Ibarra, KOB, Eyewitness News 4.
So what did our governor, Susana Martinez, have to say about this list? Well, her office released a statement in part saying, "The governor continues to work to make New Mexico a safer place to live, to work, and to raise a family." So how is she doing that? Well, we've got her full statement on KOB.com for you.
All right, so I've lived in 3 of the 4 most dangerous states. Live to tell about it. Farmington man arrested on 16th DUI, beat kids in car, from KOB.
He's been arrested for his 16th DWI. And the worst part of it, all those arrests have been made since 2003, a little more than 10 years. Farmington police say this time, 30-year-old Lawrence Pines' 2 young children were in the car with him. Cops arrested him after witnesses reported him swerving all over the road. Police also learned Pine had repeatedly kicked and hit his children while in the car. We checked, and it looks like Pine has spent several months behind bars in the last couple of years for DWI and other issues related to alcohol.
Wow. Unfortunate, to say the least. Here's Nate Bargatze on a little clip here called Cops, and this is where our comedian of the week is Nate Bargatze.
I don't know if anybody's like a prostitute here. I would figure some of you, most of you. All right. All of you? Oh, wow. All right. It's a rough time for prostitutes because, one, the economy is not that good. And if you're a prostitute in New York, you're getting murdered. So that's a lot, too, you know. But if I was always like, they did just have a bunch of prostitutes murdered in New York. And I was thinking, like, when a cop goes and walks up on someone that's been killed, it sucks because you have to go. I mean, the person's dead, that's like, but then you got to go tell the family, and that's like horrible news. But if it's a prostitute, that's double the bad news. You got their family doesn't know they're a prostitute, so you got to go up and be like, "Oh yeah, your daughter's dead, and it wasn't going that good to begin with because she was a prostitute." So, yeah. But I thought about it, like, all right, if you have to do that, I think the best way to go about it is like you should like when you go to the door, open with the prostitute thing, kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. You know, you're like, "Look, sir, I hate to say this, but your daughter was a prostitute." Because then every father's going to freak out and be like, "I can't believe I'm going to kill her." Then you're like, "Oh, that's actually, oh, that's crazy that you brought that up." without me saying it.
Sorry, that one's a little bit morbid. 523-1450 to call in, and we'll be right back. 805-6180 to text. I'll read your text when I get back. Kelly O'Connell, 645 AM 1450, the Kelly O'Connell Show. All right, so we've got this crisis in New York City about the mayor and the police, and you know, it's funny to me that this is playing out how all of these little socialist morality.
Meanwhile, tension continues to mount.
The socialist does something outrageous that's totally unacceptable. People rise up and react, and then the socialist person, in this case Bill de Blasio, who was a card-carrying communist only a few years ago, and I'm, from what I can tell, has not changed his belief one bit in his inaugural address. He called, he had a minister who gave a prayer that said that New York City was a plantation and that people had to have their chains taken off. And he's saying, he's just on record as saying he wants poor people or rich people to pay their share, blah, blah, blah. Gets into this battle with the police. And now he's attacking these cops for turning their back on him. And I've got, well, let's see here. I got a little clip for you on this. And this is from January the 6th, so this is brand new.
Meanwhile, tension continues to mount between police and New York City's mayor. Officers once again turning their backs on Mayor de Blasio at the Sunday funeral for the second NYPD officer murdered back in December. This comes as Spike Commissioner Bratton asking officers not to repeat the, quote, inappropriate gesture, his word. New York Senator Chuck Schumer says the divide between them and the city can be fixed, however.
I think that, again, having talked to people on both sides, I think that the chasm is not unbridgeable at all. Commissioner Bratton has done a good job in Los Angeles in dealing with this issue well.
I got to say something here. Chuck Schumer is one of the most far-left people in American politics, and I find it funny that he's in here for his buddy, backing up his buddy. Why doesn't somebody on the left call out the mayor and just say, you know, how you're acting is totally inappropriate?
He's dealing with the issue well here, and I think it can be solved.
But it is not solved at the moment. With me now, Bernard Carrick, former New York City Police Commissioner, and sir, good morning to you from Washington today.
Good morning.
Where is this heading?
Well, I think Senator Schumer just made a really good point in saying that he believes, you know, the bridge can be resolved, and talked about Bratton and what a great job he's done in L.A., New York, Boston. And I agree. The problem is this rift isn't with Bratton. It's with the mayor. And the cops believe that the mayor has not been supportive. The cops believe that the mayor put out this anti-cop racist rhetoric that the assassin of these two murders, the two cops, that he believed, which was the excuse he used for assassinating the two cops, the cops believe that anti-cop and racist rhetoric has hurt them, has diminished their power, has diminished their ability to do their job, and they believe that they're not going to get the support they should have from the mayor. So I think Senator Schumer's words, you know, about Bratton, I think Bratton's the guy that's going to have to do this, that's going to have to fix it.
It's interesting. If you watch the Twitter feed on behalf of the mayor, it seems like he's trying to make an effort to bridge this gap. I don't know if he can, and apparently listening to what you're saying, he won't be able to.
Well, you know what? I think he's got to try. I think maybe he is trying. But you have to realize that the cops are angry, they're upset, and when you don't feel like your commander-in-chief is supporting you, is going to be there for you, is going to indemnify you should you have a problem with the city, is basically telling his own son that he has to watch the cops that guard him for the dangers they may pose. That's a problem.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, in a scenario where this is a wholly created event, this is all comes out of the mayor. The mayor creates this whole thing. Did he want this to happen? I mean, is the mayor so crazy that he wants a war with the police? All right, I got a few texts here. Kelly, a lot of people getting paid at that border, I mean officials and such. It's like the Republicans like Bone are all zombish in the Congress, maybe zombie-ish. Oliver North told it he will tell you about them officials, and here's some more. The reason freshmen fall in line is that they refuse. There are zero committee appointments for them in 2 years in the future, and this is talking about the new congressmen and senators. In 2 years in the future, they have only motions which never made it to the floor to show for their time spent, so they sell out their beliefs in order to gain power. I'm sure there's something to that. But anyway, you've got here a mayor who starts this whole thing off by backing protests. Instead of if he thinks that there's something wrong, I believe that he's got a duty to enter to begin an inquiry, an investigation. Instead, he just backs some far left and very racist protests against the city police, and it blows up in his face. And he's not backing down. He, just like the president, never backs down. 523-1450. All right, here's a little more Nate Bargatze. Science.
I don't believe in science. I don't understand it, so it's easier not to believe in it. They could be making stuff up, you know? I read that they said, like, cockroaches are, like, 350 million years old, and it's like, are they, or do you know? I don't know how to go figure that out, because that's what I think you're doing. I think you know that I wouldn't even have a clue to start to figure that out or want to, so you're just throwing numbers out at me, and I just go, all right. I guess that's what they told y'all in school. Pluto's not a planet. It's not been a planet for a while. That's how long I've been out of science. Because once they did that, they're like, you can't just jam Pluto down my throat my whole life. And then right when I get out of school, you're like, we were just kidding about Pluto. That affected me, you know? Like, in elementary school, I got a C because I forgot to put Pluto. And turns out I should have got above an A. That's what I should have got. I should have probably been teaching the class because I nailed it years ago. I never believed in Pluto. So, said it's too far. I go, you guys will see. Yeah. I just went to Honduras recently. I had, I have no idea where Honduras was at. We did a USO tour. There's troops there. That's where it's going down next. And that's what they told me. So, I wouldn't say anything about it. But it's pretty low key. But it's going to, you know, just let it happen. I went there. I was at the airport. I told the guy, I was like, hey, I'm going to Honduras. He was like, what city? I was like, I'm just learning right now that's not the name of the city. So I don't know. Wherever people go.
Anyway, Nate Bargatze. But anyway, a little comedic break there. But what do you think about, and I guess it involves the local recall election too. Do you think that somebody gets elected, you just leave them be no matter what, and it is our job to kind of live through it, you know, to survive it? I don't think you should overlook one thing. All of these problems, locally and nationally, New York City, they're all coming out of people who claim that everybody is wrong but them. Is wrong but them, and if they could really show you, you know, they would let you know how smart they are. If you could really read their mind, if they don't tell you already, they know better than you do. Their theory of economics and history is better than yours. Their idea of morality is light years ahead of yours. Now, My question to you is, where's the evidence of this? Where's the evidence of the genius of these ideas? I mean, it's, as far as I can tell, not in history. So why don't we stand up to these people like we're doing locally and just say, you know what? Enough is enough. We are not going to take this anymore. We're not going to take you grandstanding and pretending that you're helping the city by passing things on global warming that even if they get passed, they're sent to the White House. I mean, the president is not only not going to see that, but where is the evidence that there is any global warming? I'm going to come back and talk to you about that, too. The Pope has released one encyclical since he's been in office, and they say it's not Muslim, it's not Protestant or Catholic or even Muslim. It's of the new religion, the religion of global warming. Anyway, I'll take you out here. Kelly O'Connell with some Wilco, New Madrid, and this guy who used to be in the band that we're looking at today, Uncle Tupelo. Kelly O'Connell and 523-1450 to call in, and we'll be right back after a break on the hour. It's Kelly here. Good morning. It's 7:06 on the 6th of January 2015, and I've got what I think will be an interesting issue, whatever you want to call it, topic. The Pope, you remember when I said the Pope was a Marxist, and trust me, that was not something I had planned to say. It's when I realized that the Pope was involved in liberating Cuba, not really liberating it, by the way. If he was liberating Cuba, I wouldn't think he was a Marxist, but I mean, to open up relationships between America and it's one of its nearest neighbors, which is a communist nation that has no human rights, and not demand any change as part of that deal when they desperately need whatever help they can get. That's one of the things that happens in a communist country. People learn to live without because that's the nature of communism. Communism doesn't produce stuff. It's unproductive and it wastes resources. It wastes human lives. People don't become who they could have become in the socialist paradise because there's not enough jobs. There's not enough anything because they don't allow freedom in economics or in the marketplace. And then they act like they're the greatest people in history, even though all of the individuals in the communist country are suffering, except for the elites, the head of the army, the politicians, you know, everybody else is suffering. But that's better than that. You know, that's what I'm saying is in this zombie apocalypse government that we have, can we back off the failed theories for just maybe a year or two and catch our breath? All right. So I've got a couple of topics in mind, one of which is this Pope who the more I hear him, the more convinced I am that he's a Marxist and the rise of atheism, which is a U.S. phenomenon. It's a worldwide phenomenon. All right. So this year, and this is from a story out of Dennis Prager, who's a brilliant, he's a commentator, but he's also a brilliant writer. This year, the Pope, this is a little quote from the Prager, the Pope will use an immense amount of papal moral influence to address global warming, or as it is now called in light of the small amount of global warming taking place, climate change. He's going to visit the Philippine city of Tacloban, which was hit by the devastating typhoon Haiyan. Present his encyclical in September at the United Nations General Assembly. This will be done to influence the December 2015 International Climate Change Conference in Paris. All right, get this. The world's left is overjoyed, according to the Guardian, the UK Guardian. And here is just a little bit from this. In recent months, the Pope has argued for a radical new financial and economic system to avoid inequality and ecological devastation. October, he told a meeting, quote, an economic system centered on the god of money needs to plunder nature to sustain the frenetic rhythm of consumption that is inherent to it. The system continues unchanged since what dominates are the dynamics of an economy and of finance that are lacking in ethics. It is no longer man who commands, but money. Cash commands. Now, you listen to that. How can you hear that and not imagine that this guy holds Marxist ideals? This attack against the economic system. The claim that the god is cash or greed plundering the earth. I mean, this is textbook. That's why, from my instincts told me this guy had to be a Marxist. I believe he is a Marxist. I mean, this is just like confirmation in my mind. 5-2-3-14-50. Even the Marxists rose up to defend him. Or Frankie, I guess not a Marxist. Doesn't even claim to be a socialist, but people on the left are rising up. People that don't believe in God are rising up to defend the Pope. It's very weird. All right. it goes on. His statements go on. The monopolizing of lands, deforestation, the appropriation of water, inadequate agrotoxics are some of the evils. I don't even know what an inadequate agrotoxic is, but are some of the evils that tear man from the land of his birth. Climate change, the loss of biodiversity, and deforestation are already showing their devastating effects in the great cataclysms we witness. The god of money needs to plunder. Cash commands. These are evils that tear... This is so... I mean, how can you criticize me for saying this Pope is a Marxist when you hear this garbage? This is created. These ideas were created to put forward leftist goals of recirculation of capital. So the wealthy countries that are tearing the world to shreds, like the Pope is saying here, need to give the poor countries money so that we can have equality. And then they're going to sell, or they're going to recirculate money through selling of carbon credits. What is a carbon credit? But we're supposed to sell these carbon credits. We're supposed to buy the carbon credits of the poor countries. So, you know, it's just, you know, I read stuff like this. I can almost not believe that the church would choose somebody like this. I mean, the Pope has tweeted, inequality is the root of social evil. Is it? Is that really? I got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
Yeah, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, Kelly, I was wondering, you know, with this town, Las Cruces, you know, they pass this global warming thing,
yeah.
whatever, I don't know, I don't follow the politics.
Well,
I
what they did, Mike, what they did is they passed a resolution to take a statement to the president and let him know that we're opposed to the type of policies that create global warming.
Who is it that is doing that? I mean, this town reminds me of a Marxist type town. I mean, there's, you know, the job situation, you know, it's like there's something underneath that holds people down, and it's probably the politics, I guess, or whoever's running it. But I've come from some pretty wealthy areas. I've lived in like Scottsdale. I lived in Holland Park, Illinois, just outside of Chicago all my life. And then I've moved here to Las Cruces because I had to. And, it just seems to me like there's something underneath that keeps people down here. It could be this Marxism thing. It's the Catholic Church. You know, there's so many Catholics here. I don't know what it is, Kelly.
Mike, we're breaking up a little bit. I don't know what your new phone situation is, but
computer's went off.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go just because you're breaking up. But anything else?
Well, the thing with Clinton, you know, Clinton's father was a Rockefeller, and he used to visit his mother.
Mike, call back. Yeah. Folks, get a good connection when you call in. I definitely want to hear Mike's points, but it's not really fair to the listeners. I think Mike's on to an important point. It is, folks, it's not, there's only so many theories out there. And when you've got people like the three Maoists on the city council, and you've got individuals on the county commission. Hey, Mike, if you want to call back and finish your point, but get a good connection. If you're calling through the internet, you might want to work on that. But I do think it is Marxism. I mean, you know, these guys act like when you're dealing with these, and this is the tragedy for me. I mean, I've been around this stuff my whole life through the university system, so I developed an ability to sniff it out at 100 paces. But the sad thing is, and I think you saw it in Nathan, Please Don't Call Me Tiny Small, this attitude that I'm so much smarter than you, that you know, you're lucky to be breathing the same air that I am. This, you know, I've got it figured out, and you don't, you're a dope, you know. And it is the fixation on ideology or ideas over experience and common sense. And that right there spells the difference between the left and the right. if you're going off of ideology and ideas and modeling, you know, like all of this global warming, believe it or not, is not based on measuring the earth and just reporting what's going on out there. I mean, how could it be when the ice caps on both poles are thicker than they've ever been in history? It's all based on computer models. Well, what if the model's wrong? So you've got these people, and I think what Nathan found out is that it's easy to go around and pretend that you're smarter than everybody else, everybody who hasn't gone to the university, everybody who hasn't been exposed to this master-slave narrative that Marx puts out, this idea of the rich and the poor, the used and the users. You pick that up in school, and it takes the place of real study of history and a real study of economics, and it becomes a default shortcut to seeing yourself as a great genius. And so then all your decisions are you're representing liberty and justice and truth and all this stuff, and it's a hoax. And the way that we know it's a hoax, when you see the results, the broken economies, the failed opportunities, the more leftism you bring in a country, the more failed the economy is, and the worse the lives are. And then these people blame everything on the rich. I mean, it's just it is simplistic to the point of being like a child's fairy tale level of understanding. And yet these people are talking down to us and demanding that we follow them. We follow them at our peril. We follow them over the cliff, you know. Anyway, here's a little more Uncle Tupelo. Still be around. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Mike, feel free to call back if you get a good connection. 718. And the number to call in, 523-1450. And to text 805-6180. We'll be right back for the Kelly O'Connell Show.
I don't see you through the windshield. I don't see you in faces looking back at me. Alcohol doesn't have much that matters to say. Can't imagine where you and time to kill will stay. When the Bible is a bottle and the hardwood floor is home. When morning comes twice a day or not at all. If I break into, will you put me back together? When this puzzle's figured out, will you still be around to say you've just been?
Well, folks, Kelly here, and I've got to say this is an absolutely brilliant article. I'm telling you, this guy, guy that wrote this, Dennis Prager, he's Jewish, but he is absolutely brilliant. And what he is saying here is so true. All right, so here's the Pope is up, and he's raging against, or maybe with a smile on his face, he's condemning greed and poverty and capitalism, deforestation, global warming. He's putting all these things together as if it's one phenomenon. And here is the most troubling thing about the left is they act like their opinions are not the result of their ideology, of their studying these leftist writers, that it's just obvious, you know, you just go out and observe. Anybody who went out and observed anything right now would come to the conclusion we've got global cooling going on. We're getting pounded by one brutal winter after another, and then somebody will come along and say, well, that's obviously, it shows the climate change. Well, what, just for the sake of the argument, what in the devil is supposed to be climate change? I mean, is the climate supposed to stand still if there wasn't any human influence? Are you kidding me? There was just an article that came out a few days ago that said the sun has been indicated as being the most influential thing in the environment, and it's responsible for X percent of whatever. I'll have to look it up here for you, but the point was that the sun has more influence on the globe than anything else does. Let's see if I can find it here for you. But it's obvious. You don't have to, you know, it's just the most obvious thing in the world. So I'll find it over the break, but look in the news here for you. But anyway, the point here is that, all right, this is Prager's question. How are we to explain the left-wing, radical left-wing language of the Pope's encyclical? I mean, the Pope in some sense, I mean, in every sense, is supposed to be representing the history of the church, the historic ideas of the church, and he's supposed to be presenting the church to the world, not just running the church, but presenting, you know, he's this chief spokesman, and yet he's caught up in this debate. So listen to this. How are we to explain the very moment that the oldest Christian communities in the world are being violently destroyed, that while Christians are murdered, raped, and tortured in Africa, in the Middle East, and while horrific barbarities are committed daily in the name of God against Christians, the Pope issues an encyclical and travels around the world to talk about climate change? It is happening. Listen to this. Here's the chief point. It is happening because leftism has taken over much of Catholicism, most of mainstream Protestantism, which is old guard Protestantism, increasing numbers of evangelicals in most non-Orthodox Judaism, not to mention the secular worlds of the news media, entertainment media, and academia. And so, what you're talking about is a worldwide cult of Marxism that has taken over. Everybody knows this. Everybody who's thought about this for 5 seconds, 5 minutes, knows that leftism has taken over the university system, Hollywood. How many true conservatives are in Hollywood? How many conservative movies come out of Hollywood? How many times does the university stand up for capitalism? Or, I mean, it just make you laugh to think about it. It's always fighting for leftist ideas because it's religious. It's religious, and therefore, because it's a religious commitment, they don't have to commit themselves to the truth. They've got, study of history and science and everything. They've got something that's much more powerful. It's a religion. Religion is the most influential topic, influence in human history. All right. Prager goes on. It's happening because leftism has taken over much of Catholicism, et cetera, et cetera. It's happening because the default philosophic, moral, and political position in Latin America is leftism. Support for big government and the redistribution of income and condemnation of capitalism and corporate profits. These are a given in Latin America, in Pope Francis's Latin American core, and that's what I was telling you a while ago. His leftism was the primary reason he worked so diligently to get the United States to normalize relations with Castro, the Castros in Cuba, instead of using his moral authority to condemn a brutal tyrant that has crushed and impoverished the Cuban people for 55 years. This is the scary thing, is that capitalism and liberty have won every major battle with leftism in history, with communism, and yet here we are suffocating under this socialist worldview. It's just so crazy, and that's why I bring up the zombie metaphor. It's as if zombies are decision making in Washington. How many bad policies can come out of one White House? You know, it's absolutely nuts, and so that's why people are complaining about what's going on in the GOP and wondering if there's anybody in the GOP that hasn't been corrupted by this kind of leftist cult. You know, the more people are around bureaucracy, the more they fall in love with it. The more they're around government, big government, working in the government, the more they see it as the cure of all human evils. And I'm just wondering if Boehner isn't in that group, or if Mitch McConnell, because they survived being out of power pretty well. Now that they're back in power, who are they in love with? Who inside of their heart, what does it beat for? Anyway, here is, speaking of heartbeats, Not Built for Marriage, Nate Bargatze. Comedy.
You know what it is? It's like, we all boiled down to marriage. We're not good at marriage, all right? We're not prepared. We're not ready for marriage like women are. Y'all are very prepared for marriage. Your whole life is built for marriage. Look at every toy you play with. Like, when you're a baby, they give you a baby doll. Yeah, so they give you a baby when you're a baby. You don't even know you're alive yet. And they're like, look, I would probably start figuring this out. This is where it's headed, all right? And then they give you Barbie and Ken. They live in a little house together. That's where you learn how to make all your drama. You get like unreal at that. Then you would play house. You would like fake vacuum with your friends. That was like awesome to get to do that. So like now when I see my wife vacuum, I'm like, she's living her childhood dream. She's made it. All right.
Kelly O'Connell, that's a pretty good clip there. 731-523-1450 to call in, 805-6180. If the Pope's not a commie, call up and straighten me out, Frankie, or anybody else. We'll be right back. All right. Kelly here, 732. Stop picking on the Pope. I can hear you saying that. Leave my Pope alone. Well, the reason, why do I bring this up? Why do I bring up Marxism? I actually shudder every time I hear the term Marx or Marxism, the name Marx, because it's, you know, a lot of people just, they don't have any knowledge of it. And so your brain's going to shut down when you hear it. You know, hear about somebody talking about something you don't know anything about. In addition, it just seems like you're like slandering people if you say they're Marxist. And yet I have found from dealing with these people that is, believe it or not, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It is the thing that is inside of the stuff that these people are listening to and the individuals they're influenced by. It is this active agent, you know, it is like putting yeast in a flour, you know. It's the thing that causes the movement in the bread. All right. So anyway, there is, why don't we do a little bit, since we're kind of touching on this area anyway. I've got a little bit of history and religion here together, which you might find notable. I like to try to mix in a little bit of religion. Occasionally, people are very interested in that. Like I say, the most influential subject in history. This is from religionnews.com, January 5, 2015. The site where Jesus may have been tried prior to his crucifixion is now open to the public for the very first time. It's in Jerusalem, located in the old city of Jerusalem. It's within easy walking distance of the Christian quarter and Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where the tradition says that Jesus was buried. And it was discovered under an abandoned prison building, part of the Tower of David Museum grounds. The trial site, or where they believe that Jesus may have been tried before he was crucified, is one piece of a vast excavation undertaken by archaeologists from 1999 to 2000, but sealed off for the past 14 years, largely because of a lack of funding. These excavations include what may be the foundations of the palace of the King Herod. It was here, many scholars and archaeologists think, that the Roman governor Pontius Pilate put Jesus on trial. And they say the palace was built at the end of the first century BC, according to Josephus. It was enormous. There was lots of gold and silver and running water and guest quarters, according to archaeologist Emmett Riem. The ruins uncovered by the Antiquities Authority, which are like the most powerful group in Jerusalem in terms of anything done with building, they were discovered in the area described by Josephus and included a complex sewage system. They don't have any facts to prove that that's where Jesus was put on trial, but there's a speculation. So that's pretty interesting, huh? All right. Let's, here's a little more Uncle Tupelo. We'll take a little break here. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180, and we'll be right back.
Upside down. Walked and breathed many a cancerous mile with a barren eye. It's too slow to beat the coffin. They won't tell it on the TV. They can't say it on.
It's Kelly. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Hey, what's going on?
What did the city do yesterday?
You tell
me. Did
they
do anything? I don't know. I can't even get on my computer. Look at the. I didn't go. I just wondered what happened.
Somebody told me they were going to it, but I never heard what happened.
I don't know what happened either, Kelly. Okay. Well, I'll try to find out.
All right, Patty.
I just spoke up and I heard you talking about it. I just wondered what the hell they're up to.
Who knows? But let's. I'll see if I can find out. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, right. I will too. Thanks.
Okay. Bye. Kelly here, and I just got a phone call and asked what was on the agenda yesterday at the City Hall. And I think that I found it here, council meeting first and third Mondays. And let's see what the date on this is, January the 5th. Okay, so here is a resolution number 15, resolution authorizing the City of Las Cruces on behalf of its Brannigan and Cultural Center to accept a grant award in the amount of $1,000 from the National Endowment of the Humanities. All right. A resolution authorizing the City of Las Cruces on behalf of its seniors program section to accept a grant from Meals on Wheels for 2,000 clams. Resolution authorizing the City of Las Cruces on behalf of the Southwest Border High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Program to accept a grant award modification 7 in the amount of $10,000. And resolution authorizing 18.77% pickup of para municipal general member coverage plan 3 contributions for employees whose positions are represented by a collective bargaining agreement. So that's union, I guess. So council bill number 15, proposed ordinance, an ordinance granting a franchise to Moongate Water Company for the operation of potable water. And I don't really see anything else. But if you were there, if you know anything that happened, let me know. All right. So we've got, just kind of getting back to this thing, is the reason that you talk about Marxism is you want to educate people, the motivations, the inexplicable things that you see happening, the decision-making that's so hard to follow. If you understand that it is not the result of a group of people who are born into genius, who are living in this kind of enlightened realm where everything that they see, they understand, and all of their ideas are perfect and helpful for people, and the rest of the individuals out there are fighting against them because they're living in ignorance. That's really, I think, how the left sees itself, and that's not really true at all. What it is the contamination of entertainment, the contamination of intellectual activities, and the contamination of the political system by these very toxic ideas. All right, here I've got an article. Alabama state climatologist becomes a problem for the EPA. Alabama state climatologist this week urged the Environmental Protection Agency to readdress the physical science behind its Clean Powers Plan. And Dr. John Christie is a climate scientist at the University of Alabama in Huntsville and has been the state climatologist for 2,000 years. He said, "I built data sets from scratch to answer questions about climate variability and to test assertions people make about climate change." And that's what the scientific method is about. And what he has found out, testing from scratch, he says, is that it is the sun more than anything that is influencing the planet's climate. And he's also criticizing the models that have been put out there, that they're not reliable, and the amount of money that is being put into climate change. And so that's interesting. All right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more. Well, let's get into... let us get into something else that's popped up, and I want to ask your opinion on something. And this is about a topic that came up the last few days, talking about the borders again and how the borders are being, I guess you could say, you know, there's a lot of people who would say the border in America has been overrun, and we found out from October to November last year, 60,000 kids came here, which is an absolutely stunning number. Now, in Europe, you've got German anti-Muslim protesters rallying despite pleas from the government. 18,000 people, the biggest group recently, or really, this shows up in Dresden, that which is very famous from World War II. They heavily outnumbered counter-protesters, and it is from a group called Pegida, or Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West. All right, what do you think about that? What do you think about, this is a tough question that I had, but let me ask you this. Do you think that at some point, talking about immigration, talking about immigration not just from Mexico, but immigration from the foreign countries and being, having people come in here from, say, Saudi Arabia or whatever, or the Middle East, people that are kind of getting set up here from, that are Muslims. Would you think it would ever be appropriate in America to oppose Islam? I know it's a shocking question. Think about that. Would it ever be appropriate to rally against the Islamization of America? While you're thinking about that, I've got a story here. Arizona is told to stop prosecuting job-seeking immigrants, and Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio has been told to stand down. And if there's a court order out there, the federal judiciary, according to the LA Times, is tearing out the legal ground from under America's toughest sheriff, Joe Arpaio. And a federal appeals court said it was illegal to deny bail to immigrants in the country illegally. It's interesting. Then on Monday, an Arizona federal judge blasted a state law that stretched the crime of identity theft to include everyone, forgers, to simply seeking employment without valid documentation. So Sheriff Joe was using that law to justify workplace raids that he has done, more than 80 of them since 2008. Those raids found 800 men and women charged with felonies for seeking employment while they were here illegally. The federal law says, though, it's seeking employment is not a crime, no matter what a person's immigration status is. And a group of immigration rights organizations sued Arizona, the county, and Sheriff Joe. And on last Monday, the plaintiffs prevailed. And this is what plaintiff's attorney Jessica Karp says. These laws were one piece of a toolkit that Sheriff Arpaio used to terrorize immigrant communities, and that toolkit is being taken apart. That is absolutely amazing to me. People would talk that way. As if we don't have any right to, you know, it's really, it is stunning to me, this idea that we don't have a right to decide who's going to be in here state by state or federally. The federal government is just going to allow these people to come in and stay. It is it's like a coup. It's like a coup from the federal government. I have never seen anything like it, and I don't know where it's going to end. But so anyway, the question in my mind is, do you think that it would ever be appropriate for people in this country to protest against Islam? 523-1450 to call in. And I wonder if it would ever happen. All right, folks, I've got the, it's not really drawn any interest from the phone lines here, but let me get to everybody's favorite part of the show. Weird news. Weird news, friends, 523-1450 and 805-6180. The lines have been suspiciously quiet. Maybe people are burned out after the holidays and the elections and everything. All right, weird news for you. Bull got trapped in an unlocked cupboard for 2 days while high on drugs. And this is from the mirror.uk. And there's a couple of people here that are pictured. And the woman, bizarrely enough, has one visible tattoo in her mugshot. And it's of a dollar sign on her neck. It's very weird. Amber Campbell, 25, and John Arwood, 31, made a frantic call to police to say they'd been stuck in a closet for 2 days, yet the cupboard didn't even have a lock on it. And they were freed by the police after getting high on drugs. They tracked the phone's GPS and rushed to the scene at Daytona State College, Florida. They smelled an unpleasant aroma, and they went in and opened the door and found urine and human feces, as well as equipment for smoking meth and crack. No drugs were found. The police looked. There was not a lock on the door. They were arrested for trespassing. And Amber Campbell was also arrested for violating probation. All right. Naked man took catnap on store's dog beds. And this is another Florida. Why is it like half or more of the weird stories are from Florida? And this is a Florida man was celebrating in New Year's Eve in jail after stripping off his clothes in a CV pharmacy and taking several dog beds into the store's bathroom where he reclined atop of the borrowed merchandise, according to police at the, and posted on the Smoking Gun. Jeremiah Patterson, speaking of biblical names, is facing indecent exposure and theft charges in connection with the bizarre incident last Tuesday evening. He's locked up on a $10,000 bond. In their police report, Patterson entered the CV and proceeded to the men's bathroom where he intentionally removed his clothing, exposed his genitals in a lewd and lascivious manner in exhibition. The naked Patterson then left the toilet and proceeded to rummage through six dog beds. From that inventory, he selected three canine cushions and returned to the bathroom where he was spotted laying on top of them. He damaged these beds, depriving of CV's right to lawfully to lawful ownership and sale of them. And his rap sheet also includes felony theft and grand theft. All right. Mysterious beast spotted by Arizona highway cameras. Unidentifiable and unidentified animals has sparked a viral debate on the internet. The Arizona Department of Transportation is helping to grow conspiracy theories when they post a photo from a highway patrol camera. It is, according to some people, a flock of Bigfoots, a herd of Bigfoots. And the government even suggested something sinister was going on. The Department of Transportation wrote on the incident, "We might have spotted a family of Sasquatches on SR-260 near Herbert this afternoon. What do you think?" The post was shared 3,000 times. They put it on their Facebook page. More than 2,000 comments ranged from true believers to those who were really not influenced, not persuaded. And so the department says they try to have fun through Facebook. But it is a herd of what looks to be dark-looking animals on 2 feet, and they're pretty big around. All right, here's another story. I'm an angel. This is from the Daily Mirror, UK. I'm an angel woman caught making porn movies in church claims that the sins of other people's are far worse than her own. I've got a clip, but I can't play it because it's got a warning on it. A woman who made porn films in a church and was caught after a man recognized her breasts has claimed she's an angel compared to other sinners. The 29-year-old, known only as Babesy or Babsy, was speaking in an Austrian court during questioning led by prosecutor Alfred Schummeler. When asked what motivated her to choose a church for her porn movie, she said, "Believe me, if you looked at what other people get up to, I'm really an angel," given a three-month sentence. And the Polish-born woman, her face was not visible in the films, but an informant notified the police. The local priest Bernard Power notified police after a parishioner in Horschling, Austria, spotted the inside of the church in the clip while surfing the internet. Uh-huh. The film, which shows the woman opening her top and caressing her own breasts, does not show her head. Her hands are visible, and she's holding what appears to be a Bible, a rosary, as well as a sex toy. And she's made similar films under the name of Babsy. And the porn movies have caused a debate in Austria, which is mostly Catholic, as to whether or not the church would need to be reconsecrated. What do you Catholics think? 5, 2, 3, 14, 50. In the end, it was decided this wouldn't be necessary because these sins are not enough to drive out God. And Babsy was seemed to be puzzled. She said, "I had no idea such things were illegal in a church. But I'm proud of the fact that the whole country has been looking at these videos because it's simply really good. I'm good at what I do." And she was forced to apologize to the priest and pay £4,230, about half of what she earned. At least they allowed her to keep some of her earnings. And I got another story here. Man killed uncle after religious daytime TV led him to believe he was Jesus. Ahmed Hussein, 28, attacked 79-year-old Ibrahim Abdi Haji under the delusion he had returned to earth to rid the world of evil. And he killed his uncle after watching a religious TV show. And he was heard shouting, "I am God, you are the devil," before launching the brutal attack on his home in West Drayton, West London. Hussein's mental state has been deteriorating since 2011 when his mother took him to see his general practitioner out of concern. and no diagnosis was given. But since then, in the weeks leading up to the killing, his behavior deteriorated, and prosecutors said that he had shouted and ranted, "I'm God, I want to clean up all people." And later that evening, after he had screamed that, his mother had heard him talking to himself in his bathroom, saying he was an angel and wanted the devil dead, which is admirable, an admirable ambition. Later that evening, she rang Haji while babysitting her grandchildren and overheard her son shouting, "I am God, you are the devil," which apparently set up a conflict, a confrontation. When police interviewed him, he said, "I'm God. I speak the language of archangels. I'm Jesus the Messiah. Please don't kill me." And then he said, he added, "I want my mother." And all right, so that's where he ended up. Here's another one. Black Jesus blamed for handing out funny money as Christmas gift. Restaurant patrons in Florida, of course, received paper, fake paper as a Christmas gift from the Black Jesus. And it was at Long John Silver in Bradenton. Customer offered to pay for their meal, but he used a counterfeit bill, creating a lot of anger and confusion, and they had to call the deputies. The guy was arrested, and it was given to them from the Black Jesus, and so they're looking for the Black Jesus now. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Really appreciate it. I'll take you out with some Uncle Tupelo. Have a great day. See you back in 22 hours. Ciao.
Off the shelf and into our minds, so you can't tell the truth when it's right in front of your eyes. When the Bible is a bottle, the hardwood floor is home. When morning comes twice a day or not at all. If I break into, will you put me back together? When this puzzle's figured out, will you still be around? Say